Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's happening with the expansion at the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics? When does construction start, and how will it impact services? Let's go in depth with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Well, Kevin, it's been an exciting week. It looks like the financing for the renovations at the hospital is in order.
Yeah, we actually closed on the loan on August 20th, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if I remember right, is when everything, it's a little bit different than a closing on your home when they slide keys across the table and you know, well, it's done. This is the wiring of money back and forth in a large project like this. But yeah, we closed on the loan August 20th, so we're all set.
And that was put in place, at least in part, by the USDA, right?
Yeah. I mean, in the grand scheme of the overall total dollars, it's a small percentage, but it's been a really nice partnership. So folks will, you know, hear about rural electrical co-ops being a part of this, the Pella REC. And so the USDA is heavily involved in rural economic development in all sorts of ways. And one of the ways that they do that is through nonprofit utility companies and or the co-ops. And so they are just kind of the conduit to get monies to a project like ours that's set to benefit the community and the people that we serve. And their connection to that is the Pella REC. We take care of a lot of their folks that they provide electricity to. So it was a good match for them. So on an $18 million financing project, this was $1.3 million of that. But at 0% interest, that really helps.
Any other sources of financing that you'd like to discuss today?
Certainly. We've talked about this in the past fairly extensively, but I cannot thank the County Board of Supervisors and the City Council and our city leaders of being supportive of this, because what they were able to do with this is while we went to the private commercial market for the rest of our construction loan, the vehicle that we were able to use through the city and county allowed us to issue these as tax-exempt bonds and bank-placed bonds. And we would not have been able to do that without us being able to use their lending capacity as it related to the issuance of these bonds. So it was just a huge part of making this project very viable, getting our interest rates down to historic lows for us to do the very most that we could do on this project.
Well, and you've got a rendering of the architect's version of what the new facility will look like. And it's really interesting. It's nice. It's elegant. It's sort of simple prairie style. Those of us that know just a little bit about architecture will see it as that. And it's going to fit in really well.
Yeah, we're really proud of what we were able to kind of come up with, and just thrilled with our architects that we were working with, because we gave them kind of a tough order to fill, because certainly there's two things that you try to balance out in healthcare. Is one of the things, I don't want people to pull into our parking lot and go into a facility where they are to receive services and they're sitting there in their car looking at this magnificent Taj Mahal and making a connection to, well, that's why my healthcare costs so much. Look at the over elegance and the over building that they did. It just was over the top. We think we struck a balance with people being able to see a building that is very modern. It's beautiful. It gives you a lot of confidence that, boy, that's a facility that's on top of their game, and yet it's not over the top expensive. I mean, we tried to make sure that we made investments on the inside of the facility where the actual care is taking place, but we want our community to be very proud of this building. I think it's an important part of economic development for other businesses that would potentially come to town, and I think it's just a good statement about the quality of Knoxville and the surrounding communities that we serve, that that's a building where we take care of people, and it's in a nice, beautiful building, but it's just not wasteful.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, about the hospital expansion.
Now, what does it mean for the doctors, the nurses, the rest of the staff, and probably most importantly, the patients?
Yeah, certainly for the patients. This has been designed from the beginning to end with the patients in mind, and a good benefactor of that as you move through that process is our staff. So our physicians and our staff are going to really enjoy some of what this new modern design brings. So this facility was designed and opened, you know, designed late 70s, opened early 80s. And healthcare delivery and how you approached it and how you delivered that care is it's on a different planet today. It's nowhere even close to the same. So what we've tried to do is take that old style of healthcare delivery, and we tried to make some changes internally with the same physical structure of an outdated model. So what we're able to do is to take our staff and our equipment that is up to the highest of modern standards and put them into a physical facility that matches up with that. So the experience for the patient and the experience for the staff is all about how we try to deliver care in today's new world.
And so you just didn't have an architect sit around and draw what they thought was best. Some listeners might remember that we had a conversation before, but you had all the walls, all the entries, everything mocked up with people actually moving through them and had potential patients come through. You had your staff there trying to figure out how to design this in human terms, not just on paper, but with people moving around cardboard setup.
Yeah, that was one of the funner parts of this project is that when you work on it with some senior leaders, architects, and some builders, and you're just looking at it from on paper and design, and you're looking at it from that perspective. One of the things that came up early on was they just felt like we needed to have two main entrances to the hospital. And I just did not like that approach. I just would like to have one main entrance where we can kind of funnel and channel our activity so it's nice and simple for the patients and for the patients' families. I really wanted to do, one entrance, but the architects felt that just probably wasn't possible. So what we did was we pulled together all of the staff that work in those areas, and we used Dyer Hudson Hall over at the racetrack and brought in pickup loads of big sheets of cardboard, and we literally built the new front of the hospital and the clinic out of cardboard. And I think they tore it down and rebuilt it about six different times. It's completely 3 days of just full days of tearing down cardboard and putting it back up. And so we ended up with a product at the end of the day. And then on the third day, we brought the architects and builders through and said, okay, this is what the staff has designed. And, you know, the architects stood there and said, they have a building that is awesome with one entrance. So it's not a single architect in the bunch. We had nurses and clerical staff and people in nutrition services and just people who work in that space begin to kind of walk through, okay, this is what we're thinking, this is what we see each and every day. And we took their input and began to kind of take their thoughts and build that. And they really came up with a nice product, which is what you see on that piece of paper there.
Well, and then that adds a whole other dimension, too, to their, to the future use of the building. If the people using it helped design it, then they're invested, they have pride in the structure, that it becomes a one of their creations as well.
No, it's all those pieces, you know, because we even we invited several community members in as well. So after they got far enough along on the project that they were comfortable in saying, let's bring in some community folks that would be using our facility. This is what we're thinking. Walk through the cardboard structures. And you know, we had awesome things, the things that you just don't think about when it's on paper, you know. Part of checking in with when you come for a physical or come to see the doctor, you step on the scales and you get your weight, you take your weight. And one of the community members was like, yeah, when I come in and do that, nobody ever has a place for me to put my coat or to put mm-hmm. my briefcase or a notebook or something like that. And that would have never come up until people complained about it, and then we would have come up with some afterthought fix. But when you're able to incorporate even those little things into the initial design, you come up with a really well-thought-out space.
One of the things that really struck me was, I guess I'm sort of used to examination rooms being pretty small. You changed that up.
Yeah, we changed that a lot. Certainly in 1970s style exam room, our current exam rooms are about 80 square feet, and that's pretty little. I mean, because what they used to be able to do is that, you know, you had the exam table and then you had your physician in the room with you, and that was typically about it. Now there's kind of more of a team approach. And also the family is much more involved today than they were just a couple decades ago. Is very few of our patients come into the exam room by themselves. I mean, there's usually someone with them, and we want to make sure that they're an active part of their care. And so we want to make sure that we encourage that and have space for that. And then also the delivery of care has changed to where we have computers in the room that weren't there before. The nurses are a more active part of the examination and making sure they're listening to what the physician is saying so that they can make sure that those orders are carried out in the way that they need to be. We have people that are collecting the computer information as it needs to go into the system. And so you end up with an exam room that needs to be about more like 130 square feet. So when you go from 80 to 130, that is a substantial difference.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, about the hospital expansion.
This project is optimistic not only about the hospital, it's optimistic about the community.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, it's what we do, what we provide is as good as anything that you can get anywhere else. And if we can't do that, then we steer people to go somewhere else. And so this building is built around primary care, outpatient surgery, emergency services, and our inpatient care that we do here, and for us to have a physical environment to do the very best in that, because that's kind of been our Achilles heel on that, is we just didn't have the physical space to be able to offer what somebody could get somewhere else. And so now that we bring in that into play, that really matches up well with our top-notch equipment and our top-notch staff that we have here.
And when are you going to break ground?
Now that we've lined up the financing, that's all ready to go. The first thing that folks would see happening out here is a couple of things that should be happening around mid-September, is you're going to start to see construction fences go up. So on the front, the east side of our building facing Lincoln Highway 14, you should begin to see some construction fences go up and some construction access roads. We don't want heavy equipment driving on our parking lots. We still need to use the parking lots, and we can't have heavy equipment sitting in there. And plus, we don't want to bust up any more concrete than necessary to have to replace later. So there will be a couple of construction accesses being built, and then the construction fences. And then really things begin to really kick off by mid to late October. That's when things really start kicking off. But there will be a big push to get the outside of this new building done, as much of that erected as possible before it freezes, so we can get as much of that done before winter gets here. But as far as we're beginning the working and the plans on putting together groundbreaking kind of ceremony celebration for this project, and we'll be letting people know as soon as we get a firm date on that.
And patient care in the interim while construction's going on?
Yeah, the clinic piece is the easy part, because essentially, I mean, this is an oversimplification, but really what you do is you're building a brand new clinic and you move into it, and when you're moved in, you bulldoze down the old one, and then that becomes the new main entrance to the hospital. In our other areas, so like on our inpatient wing, we'll shut down one of the wings, completely renovate it, and get it all put back together, and then we'll then begin to have patients be seen in there. But in the interim, we're going to have to move patients to other wings, and so we just kind of, it's a bit of a domino effect, and so we're putting those plans together as to where we shuffle people around. We'll have to have some of our support people that normally work in things like finance and public relations and other areas like that that are in support roles might have to go off-site for a while until we get spaces renovated and get everybody back under our house.
But for the patients that come here for health care, impact on them?
None. Still get the greatest of care and what we'll end up doing. I mean, certainly you're going to see pardon our progress type signs, and could be a little noisier at certain parts of the day. There's no getting around that, but we are still going to be operating as normal as we can, but making sure we're still delivering great care. So like the emergency room at some point will be kind of cut in half, and they'll be renovating one half while we function out of another, and then we'll have to occupy some other space. But one of the things about the general contractor that we're working with is that they specialize in healthcare construction. So this is what they do for a living. So they understand the importance of cleanliness and that patient care trumps the work. So if we have something that goes on and they're running a jackhammer, have to tear out a piece of cement or something, and we need them to shut that off for a while, they do it. There is no problems with that. So being able to work with somebody that understands healthcare and healthcare construction is a big and important piece of us being able to remain fully functional during this project. The time frame, we should be beginning to do some things about mid-September, really kick off mid to late October with a lot of activity at that point. And you know, about an 18-month project. So that kind of gives us a sense of what the time frames are, and certainly people will be able to see how things are coming along. But we'll provide some updates, and I'm sure we'll have some dedications and openings of areas as they get finished. And so that would be a real exciting time for us to be able to begin to do some celebrations as we bring some of the very best of facility design to the very best staff and very best equipment that we have.
Thanks to Kevin Kincaid for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.